Hello, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, whenever and wherever you are listening to this. It is your favorite inconsistent host of wrestling podcast, Mr. Michael Flanagan, and this is another episode of Marking Out with Mike. This is the first episode of the podcast I have recorded in 2021. I don't know why I've been slacking. Obviously, I'm still out here. I'm still watching wrestling. I'm still consuming all of it. But I haven't made a podcast since November the 23rd. So I hope that all the milestones that we've missed were great and happy for you guys. I hope everybody had an amazing holiday season, a great Thanksgiving, a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah and Kwanzaa, and of course, a Happy New Year. Here we are now. It's January 19th. It's been almost 2 months since I've podcasted, and I do apologize for that. Little happy news, a little couple milestones. You guys know that back in November, right before I fell off, I was acquiring a vehicle, so that could help with the podcast. We've been working on the website. It was supposed to launch on January the 15th. Right now, there's just some personal things going on that are delaying that launch, but the website will be up. It might be a month late. I don't really want to spread a bunch of false hype and hope about when it will be up, but it will come out very, very soon, I hope. I'll do a big ol' blitz and probably get blocked on Facebook for spam. Once it's ready to go, I'll put it out on Instagram and all those fun places so you guys can consume it. But I'm always working on trying to grow the brand and, you know, talk about wrestling. This is a passion of mine. At the end of the day, even if no one's listening to these podcasts, visiting the websites or doing any of these things, you have to know and understand that as a fan, I'm always doing something in the background. I've been buying a bunch of new toys, and that's one thing I wanted to kind of talk about. You know, we try to cover the entire wrestling landscape here on this show, talk about wrestling figure collecting, all of the shows from AEW to Impact to, you know, everything in between, WWE, of course, all the indies, all that kind of stuff. And today, literally just moments, so I'm recording this at 11:18 a.m. California time, Pacific Standard Time, over here on the West Coast, and I just had a very exciting to me as a nerd, Jeremy Padwar from Jazzwares, the guy who makes the AEW action figures, at 11:12 a.m. this morning, also California time, literally just posted moments before this is being recorded. Depending on when you listen, you may already know about this, but I'm going to read a direct quote, a tweet that he has posted. It says, AEW Unrivaled, an unmatched series. There will be another series of AEW figures coming called Unmatched, starting in fall, allowing deeper dive into AEW waves monthly between Unrivaled and Unmatched. Photos of Wave 4 are coming soon, currently in professional photography. So I read that exactly verbatim. He wrote it on Twitter, so obviously with the character limit, things come out a little funky sometimes, and they don't always sound right. But what he's talking about, so the Unrivaled line, that's what we currently have. That's what's at distribution right now between Ringside Collectibles and the Walmart exclusives. There was a lot of upset fans, including myself, when AEW, this first line, was supposed to launch for Series 1 on August the 5th, and it was a big mess, and most fans didn't start finding it until it was out for about 2 or 3 weeks, and some fans still haven't found it. Here in California, the distribution for Wave 2 was quite a bit better. It was a lot easier. For my experience, it was pretty easy to find. I was able to track it down. I got a complete set of Series 2, all six characters that I had pre-ordered from Ringside. And then because I'm a nutcase, I actually went out and bought a second set that I'm in the process of giving away for free just to promote the website. Went to my neighborhood Walmart and found them pretty easy. And here in Northern California in the Sacramento region, they have been pretty easy to find, Series 2, that is. I haven't seen Series 1 at retail beyond that initial shipment. But this second line now, the Unmatched Series, this is going to be likely the line that is released at Target. So we know that starting in the fall, Target is going to be carrying the figures as well. I think originally we thought it was going to be the Unrivaled Series. So this is just my opinion. I don't want a false report or anything, but I imagine that the Unmatched Series will potentially be a Target exclusive. Maybe it will be at both. I know Target will likely get their own exclusives. That's just kind of what they do. They like to get exclusives from time to time. They've done it with Mattel and WWE, not necessarily on a regular consistent basis, but they have done it, and they will probably do it again. But Wave 4 was announced for the Unmatched. So as he was saying in the tweet, which you can follow him if you're not already on his Twitter handle is at Jeremy Com. So Jeremy, Jeremycom. And that's where you can keep up with his tweets. He's a good follow on Instagram as well. But I'm going to probably mess this up. I'm trying to go from memory, so I apologize if I fall short. So there's going to be six in Wave 4. It's going to be Santana and Ortiz from Proud and Powerful. Sammy Guevara is going to be in that series as well. He was announced quite a while back. You can see prototypes, pictures of his figure on his social media, Sammy's social media, as well as Jeremy's social media as well. Mm-hmm. Should be pretty easy to find on the good old Google machine as well. And then Cody is getting another figure, Cody Rhodes, as well as current AEW champion Kenny Omega. And then Matt Hardy will be the sixth figure in that series. So no idea if that's going to be a more normal version of Matt Hardy, or if it will be kind of the half black and red haired Matt Hardy where he's doing the deletion thing. But there will be a Matt Hardy figure, the first AEW figure for Matt Hardy. So if you're a Hardy Boys fan, you can throw that in there and mix it up with, he's had, you know, figures from Jax and figures from Mattel, and now he will have a Jazzwares figure. As I am recording this, Jeremy just posted another tweet. This one came out at 11:18. So as we were recording this, so I'm reading this to myself live for the first time as I read it aloud to you. Again, this is going to be a direct quote, so I do apologize if something sounds a little bit funky. But he says, the game plan is for AEW Unrivaled and Unmatched to ship every other month. This is what we are pitching retail now. If successful, and then in parentheses he says, and I believe we will have newness on the shelf every single month. So that's pretty exciting, especially if you think big picture. I know in the moment we can be a little selfish with ourselves as fans, and I want it now. I know when the Ultimate Edition Fiend came out, I wanted that thing. And interestingly, so they've made, you know, the basic Fiend, they made the Elite Fiend, and then they made the Ultimate Edition. And I attempted to find the Elite Fiend at retail, mostly searching at Walmart's, and I never found it. And I was kind of bummed because it's a really good figure, in my opinion. And it actually worked out for me because I ended up kind of holding off. And then they came out with the Ultimate Edition Fiend, which I like a lot better. I think I would like to have that lantern of Bray Wyatt's head from the Elite to kind of just complete my Ultimate Edition Fiend. But overall, I do really like the articulation and everything about the Ultimate series. So I do like that one. But what will be nice about this is Walmart will get their Unrivaled, you know, Series 4 and 5 and, you know, going forward. And then again, as I imagine, Target will likely get the Unmatched series. And again, I don't know if this is true or not. This is all just me speculating as a fan. So the internet loves to take everything and digest it and dissect it and analyze it. So I want to make sure that you guys know I'm not fronting. This isn't one of those websites where we pretend to be insiders because we're reading junk off of Twitter. If I'm reading it off of Twitter and I'm speculating, you guys are going to know about it. I'm not going to be one of those stories right now. A big funny thing is one of the news sites posted that Renee Michel, who's the real life wife of Drake Maverick, supposedly said that WWE ruined her wedding and she didn't like the segment they did for the 24/7 title. And now she's coming on Twitter saying that, in fact, she did not say that. She was joking that Drake Maverick ruined her wedding because she was trying to play up the whole angry wife thing. And that's a typical case because clickbait gets clicks. That's why they call it that. And so there's a lot of websites that will try, because they're just fan blogs, you know, people like me with, you know, Twitter handles and Facebook pages and blogs, not even legitimate websites, trying to get something out of nothing and desperately searching for a exclusive when it's so hard to get exclusives from the wrestling world. So, you know, that's been disproven. And so I just want to stress that this is all just me as a fan nerding out over a toy line. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Part of me is really excited because I worked for Target for about 7 years, maybe a little longer. And I worked pretty much every facet of that company that you can from a retail perspective, from working cashier to working in their back room, working in electronics, and even working for some of their third-party vendors like Market Source. So I think at the end of the day, I have a higher understanding of how Target actually works as a company. And that's not to make me a know-it-all. That's just me speaking to my experience. I hear fans say things and I see things online that are just, I know to not be true. One of the big things I see, and people accuse Walmart employees of doing it as well, is, oh, well, I can't find this toy because they're hiding it in the back, or they're saving it, or they're selling it to certain people. It's basically people painting a picture of, well, I can't get it because they're against me. When in reality, anybody who hunts for toys knows that if Walmart opens at 7 a.m. or if Target opens at 8 a.m., you need to be there in the parking lot before they open. You need to be one of the first two people back there, because there's crazy Hot Wheel guy who's been collecting for his entire life, who is back there, who is going to beat you to that toy. And it's not anything against you. It's just, you can't roll out of bed at 11 or go on your lunch break. You know, you can occasionally get lucky on something, but if it's a hot toy line and it was stocked overnight, it is going to be out of stock. Like, that's just the nature of the business. Walmart is a little more lackadaisical, and they don't really have a lot of integrity or a lot of rules, so things can fall between the cracks. But Target is annoyingly strict, to the point where when I worked for them and exclusives would come out, I'll use the Fallout soda as an example. So the video game Fallout 76 had come out, and Jones Soda had done this like blueberry drink that was themed to some nuclear soda or something you could get in the game. I apologize if I'm not using the correct terms, because I never played that game. And it came like four to a case or something. And so each of the stores that I worked at the time got like 12. There were like none. And they were like $4 or something like that. And then people were buying them and they were flipping them on eBay for like $50, or like these crazy prices. And just like most things, it peaked and then the soda fell out of rotation, and I don't know what they go for now, but most people don't seem to care anymore beyond the diehards. So what Target did is they limited it to one drink per customer. So it wasn't per transaction. If you came in and one worker was the one handling it, all of the items were placed behind the counter to keep it fair. And we put a sign on the toy aisle where it was supposed to be, said, hey, if you're looking for this item, come directly to the counter for security purposes. We're keeping it, you know, behind locked case. So people would come up, they'd get one. And to attempt to regulate it, I don't think this was a Target process, but this was what the Targets I worked at did. You actually had to present an ID, which was silly, But we wanted to verify your address because we wanted to make sure that you weren't buying one and your friend behind you, you know, your brother wasn't buying another one. Ultimately, though, at the end of the day, things still happen because you bring a buddy or you bring family members that have a different address or your girlfriend or, you know, anybody with a different ID and people get them. That's the nature of toy collecting, is the hunt and the appreciation. I can promise you 99.9% of the time when you can't find something, it's either because of distribution and it didn't get there yet and, you know, you got to try again, or you just unfortunately didn't luck out and someone beat you to it. It's not because someone has like a secret friend on the inside that's calling them and saving them the toys. It's not because scalpers are beating you there. Like when you go into Walmart half the time, when I found two cases at a local Walmart of AEW Series 2 on the pallet because Walmart employees don't really do their job. They push the pallets out and then they just progressively work on the pallets throughout the day. Nothing really gets stacked. You can grab things directly off the pallet and they have no idea. Like people probably can and have been stealing them just because the whole practice is chaotic and is a mess. So I was able to just open both cases. I only wanted one because at this point it was my second complete set of Series 2, but I had opened the other one because I wanted to see if there were any chase figures. And once I saw that they were all just, you know, the standard stock versions, I actually took the second case, which I did not buy, and stacked it on top of the pallet with the pink little Jazzwear stripe facing out. And I took one of the MJF figures and leaned it up against the box because I wanted anybody who was a fan and was looking for those to be able to walk by. And I wanted it to stick out like a sore thumb because I wanted people to find it. I wanted a fan to find it and not have to, you know, dig through the pallet like I did. Because some people are really shy about that. And I do hear stories from time to time where Walmart will, you know, tell you to fuck off and not dig through their pallet. But in my experience, most of the Walmart employees are pretty lackadaisical and they're just like, yeah, do whatever you want. So I put it up. I posted it on my social media and said, hey, there's a second set here that I did not buy. As of my posting, it's still there. Go snatch it up if you want. And no one responded to that post. But when I checked BrickSeek a few hours later, it was gone. So someone got it, whether it was because of my post or me putting it up there or they just happened to find it. I'm not sure. But Series 2 has been easier to find. I think Target rather will handle the distribution a lot better than Walmart has. At the end of the day, with COVID still very much in effect, I know it's been 10 months and we're not willing to admit that this is actually still a real thing. There will be complications with vendors and such, but with the holiday period being over and the pandemic becoming more normal, as weird as that is to say aloud, I think that the distribution should get better. And so it'll be interesting to see if the unmatched figures will be the same articulation. Jeremy had said in a previous post that they will be like the same style. So myself and other figure fanatics that I follow on Twitter have speculated that these will be probably similar figures. It's just one line will be over here and one will be there because, you know, Unrivaled is on wave 4, Unmatched is only initially going to be on wave 1. So they'll just be at different points in their respective series. But hopefully this will allow them to mix them up. I really hope they don't go with a kind of a one series as basics and one series as elites. I hope they kind of just stay within the realm of what they're already doing, where they're all kind of just like the good articulation on the elbows and the knees and the, you know, jointed little stomachs and stuff like that. So we'll have to see. Jeremy is always sharing things with his fans. I like that they're not one of those teaser companies that's like, coming soon, details to follow. Like as soon as they have stuff, they generally are like, yep, this is what's going on, check it out. So as I get updates, of course, too, for those of you that aren't on Twitter or whatever the reasoning may be, if I hear anything or see anything that I think is relevant, I'll bring it up here. on the podcast. So I guess that's kind of, you know, all the details I have about the toys. I know that Funko, for those of you who collect pops, I'm not a pop collector myself. They are releasing a new Stone Cold, a DX style China, and some other figures that people are getting a little excited about. The idea of pops is cool, and I understand why it's popular, but I've never, the small body and the big head and like the cartoon thing, it's just, it's never been interesting. I almost bought a Miz because I mark out for the Miz, but then when I looked at it, I was just like, it's too weird for me, and I kind of play with my figures. I don't like to have like a lot of display pieces. I did get these things called Teeny Brawlers, which were pretty much stupid. They're like the size of a pencil eraser, and you just pose them up. They're just dust collectors. And ultimately, I don't like stuff like that. I am starting to get into more stuff like that, so maybe my viewpoint on pops will change. But I just like, you know, when you get the figures, you can articulate them and pose them and wrestle with them if you want, you know, do matches and stuff. But the Funko stuff is out as well. So some other big stuff. This is just really a wrap up. Following this, as we proceed towards Wednesday, tomorrow night, with a new episode of NXT and AEW, and of course, Major League Wrestling, MLW on YouTube. I'll get back more into kind of doing the news and notes around the wrestling world and recapping the shows. But I kind of want to just say, like, you know, welcome back. I want to get into this more. Thankfully, because wrestling is so often, I can really do a show almost daily. Around the summertime, I'm hoping to move into a new place with my girlfriend. And one of the things we've talked about is creating a space where I can podcast consistently and just kind of shut myself away and, you know, get an hour or so to do my research, watch the shows, record the podcasts, and put them out with more consistency. So if you are listening, or you're a first-time listener, or you found your way back here, whatever the story is, I hope you are understanding of that. Right now, my current living situation is great. I have no complaints, but I live an hour away from where I work, and with dating someone new, that takes up a lot of my free time because, you know, she's pretty special, so I like to see her. And so between work and my 2-hour round trip commute and my extracurriculars, plus the time that it takes to watch an average wrestling show, you know, between 1 to 3 hours, I just haven't been managing my time properly. And there's no excuses for that. I am going to get better because I do want to build up a positive fan base and have you guys join my wrestling figure collectibles group on Facebook, which you can find by searching Wrestling Whereabouts. It's a group where we try to tell people like, hey, I just left this Target in Newark, New Jersey, and they had this, and try to, you know, help fans find stuff without relying on Brickseek and websites like that. So you guys can join that. And then I am on all other social media, most of it. I have a Facebook account. If there's room and you guys are wrestling fans, just send me a DM and a friend request and I'll probably approve it. If you don't send a DM first though, and I have no idea who you are, especially if you don't live in California, I probably won't add you. But if you just say like, hey, heard you on the podcast, I'm a fan, that's all it takes. Like my wrestling, my Facebook rather, is open and public, so there's no secrets. People can see what I post about. It's not all wrestling. It's a mixture of my personal life and work and just everything. But I'm on there under the name Michael Flanagan, of course. It's a black and white photo of myself. And then I'm on Twitter under Mike S. Flanagan. And then I just joined, so we're on Instagram under Pro Wrestling Media with an underscore. We got the Pro Wrestling Media Facebook page and then prowrestlingmedia.com coming soon, maybe tomorrow, maybe February. There is a landing page there now, a little teaser that you can go look at with our logo. But I just joined TikTok. And so I have 4 TikToks right now. One of them's kind of funny, little daily series that I'm going to try to do. And then the other three are work related, because I'm experimenting with my bosses here in the mattress industry about seeing if there's room for us on TikTok, if that's a good place for our business to be. So those may come down later. But I want to get into wrestling shit. I want to talk about wrestling on there. So I'm on there under Michael S. Flanagan. My name is pretty much where you can find me on everything. And we're having fun on there. So I would love to see you guys kind of join me across all of the different media. So one big thing in no particular chronological order, since I haven't been on here since November 23rd, that's happened in the wrestling world. On December 26th, the wrestling world lost Brody Lee, John Huber, Luke Harper, whatever name you knew him by, from his time in either WWE, AEW, or on the independents. And, you know, I didn't know the guy. I was just a fan, like everyone listening. But that one was a punch in the gut. I remember genuinely being floored, just because it was so sudden, and 41 is still very young, especially when you're an athlete and you're in pretty good shape. And it's just heartbreaking because he has like an 8-year-old son who I believe just turned or is about to turn 9. And then he has like a 2-year-old and a wife. So it's just heartbreaking for his friends, his family, and then all of his fans as well. But if you feel impacted by that and you want to help out, there's a lot of great things. There's a lot of great podcasts that you can listen to that pay tribute to the man's life and wrestling career that are going to do much better justice to him than I could ever do. Talk is Jericho. Chris Jericho put one up where he talks to various people. The guys that do Busted Open do a prolonged a 2-part series, actually, that you can find over wherever you find your podcasts. And then, you know, there's all sorts of other stuff. I haven't finished it yet, but Jericho has a podcast out now with Anna Jay, and she, of course, talks about him. She only knew him during his AEW time, as I understand, but she's got some good stories that are worth a listen. But completely devastating, very sad. I liked his Exalted character. I like the direction, the dog collar match, you know, an amazing match. If that has to be his last match, then, you know, without anyone knowing, because, you know, his death was untimely and sudden, if you have to have a last match, that's got to be a hell of a last match. The first one in over 20, 30 years. And, I was very curious to see where his character was going to go in AEW. I think he was going to be at some point a AEW champion. I don't know if it was going to happen in the immediate future, you know, with Kenny Omega getting his run and then whoever Kenny will eventually drop the title to. I don't know that that was necessarily going to immediately be a guy like Brody Lee, but within the next 2 years, without a shadow of a doubt, I think he was going to be champion. And it's unfortunate that during his time in AEW, he never got to wrestle in front of a real crowd, like a large crowd. You all probably know that his debut was supposed to be in Rochester, New York, where he's from. But COVID really stole that option away from him and all of the fans. But very sad. EC3 has a website. I believe it's free. EC3.com, and for about $20, there's a Brody Lee shirt that you can purchase, and 100% of the proceeds go to his family. And then for a month long, CM Punk was donating all the proceeds from his merch store to the family as well. And I believe that's through the entire month of January, and that's on any merch. So if you maybe don't need any additional Brody Lee merch, but you're thinking about something on the CM Punk site, double check, because I think through the end of the month, anything you buy, I think the proceeds go to him. And then over on Pro Wrestling Tees, shopaaw.com, they made a really awesome shirt that I'm waiting on to come in the mail. Should be here any day now. which maybe I'll start posting stuff like that, because I get mail calls and toy hauls pretty regularly. So maybe I'll put fun stuff like that on the TikTok or even the Instagram. We'll see what happens. But anyways, there's a Exalted in Heaven Mr. Brody Lee t-shirt that you can purchase as well. And, you know, people sometimes underestimate like income and things like that and how much a wrestler makes. And because he had some time in the WWE and his time in AEW, and he signed some contracts, you know, I don't know what his financial situation is. It's not my business. I know his family was probably comfortable, but I don't know that they, you know, people act like, oh, well, if you're famous and you're on TV, you have millions and millions and millions of dollars and you're set for life, and that's generational income. And that's just not true. And a funeral is expensive, especially when it's sudden like that. And, you know, he has two sons that I believe they're both under the age of 10. I think one of them's 2 and the other one's 8 years old. And, you know, they don't have a dad now. They got robbed of that. And his wife has to, you know, go through that alone. And it's heartbreaking. And I just think any little bit that fans can do to support, because you have to think big picture. Even if their house is paid off, and even if AEW helps them with other expenses, at some point his two children are going to need to go to college. And, you know, that's still like about 20 years away due to the age of these children. But when the time comes, college is expensive. Anybody with kids or anybody that's a millennial that went through or is going through college knows how expensive that can really be. And your heart, I don't have any children, but I can't imagine I think of back to just me and my dad, who thankfully is still around, the moments we've had and just the weird memories. There's always the big things, like, I remember when dad took me to a baseball game or Disneyland or whatever major milestones you have from maybe your birthday. But I also think of like really small dorky moments. I remember back being a kid and my dad looking at a Sports Illustrated magazine and asking, "Where's the ball, Mike?" And then I was like a toddler at that time. I don't know how I've actually hung on to these memories, but I'd be like, "That one." And I have this like funny, cute memory where, you know, he'll try to trick me and it'll be a picture of hockey. And we didn't watch hockey in our household. And he's like, "Where's the ball?" And I'd like point to the puck like that, I guess. And I just remember somehow even at age 34, like 30 years later, I kind of remember that now. And it's just interesting the things that the human mind can hold on to. But, you know, your heart breaks for someone like that. Just even as someone who has a person they love in their life, I can't imagine, you know, falling in love with someone, marrying them, having two children together, thinking that you're going to have until you're in your 80s or longer if you're lucky, and then just to suddenly have it go. And thankfully, most fans have been very kind-hearted, but of course there is that nasty side of the web where people have said like silly things that aren't relevant. But just be nice. And if you have the money and you want to donate to his family, I don't know if there's any GoFundMes or anything like that. Be careful with that stuff, and you know, double check the validity and make sure it's legitimate. But I think the best way to go about it is just buy those t-shirts from CM Punk and EC3 and Pro Wrestling Tees. And I bought 2 shirts. It only equates to about $40, but if even 1,000 people donated $40, like, it's every little bit helps. And I think just feeling that support when you're going through something like that is bigger than money. His son has been on BTE. They're actually throwing a birthday party for him, I believe, on Dynamite tomorrow. And they've kind of loosely involved him in some of the vlogs and storylines that they do. And so it's nice to see kind of AEW wrapping their arms around his family. And I believe his son, his 8-year-old son, will undoubtedly probably someday grow up. And, you know, in 10 years, he'll be 18. And I think he could go to some of these wrestling schools and follow in his father's footsteps. He seems, you know, who doesn't love their father? But he, I think he's going to definitely be a second gen wrestler, and that'll be a cute, inspiring story to watch. But that was something that definitely. We had other guys pass away like Danny Hodge and even the great Pat Patterson. But you took a little more solace because Hodge, I believe, was 88. Patterson's death did seem a little untimely to me. That's probably, it caught me a little off guard. But he was 79. And, of course, it's still heartbreaking. Whether you're 9 or 90, death is always heartbreaking. But anytime somebody gets cut down in the prime of their life or shorter, when they're still establishing their legacy, I would have just really loved to have seen him in front of AEW crowds and seen what he could have done to put his stamp. But I am happy that he was able to not only get a run with the TNT Championship, which I think is an important championship in that company, but also to have a lengthy run. I think it was like a little over 60 days, and there's no shame in the way he dropped that championship. To lose it to a guy like Cody Rhodes in a dog collar match, there was some good build to that, but just some good nostalgia there behind Mr. Brody Lee. So Raw was last night. We're not going to really talk about that too much. I'm just going to kind of start off fresh with a fresh slate on Wednesday. Like I said, Wednesday is just the Super Wrestling Wednesday now with three different wrestling shows. We got Impact. It's Tuesday today, so we'll talk about them a little bit. We got Impact, and of course, NWA now is airing on Tuesdays. They're kind of back a little bit, if you're not aware. I'm trying to remember what their new show is called. Their original show was called Power. But they have a new YouTube series, which I, as a fan, I'm kind of shaking my head at myself for not remembering what their show is called. But it's pretty good. They teamed up with Primetime Live Wrestling from Hollywood, and they put on some shows. Hopefully, they're able to kind of keep working through the challenges of the pandemic, because the only piece of criticism I would say is, because of the internet and the wrestling fan base being as rabid as it is, once something's happened, it's current, it's news, it's all over Twitter, and Primetime is a bit delayed. So, like, when they first started doing that show about a month ago or however long it is, Thunder Rosa was still the NWA Women's Champion, and as we know, she's dropped that title to Serena Deeb, who has since defended it on television and appeared. And so for the continuity of wrestling fans, you do kind of have to take yourself out and remind yourself that it kind of, in a weird way, almost like a Marvel DC universe type of thing, it almost exists on its own timeline. But I would like to see if there's a way for them to become weekly and to become somewhat live, where it's recorded and then within 7 days put on social media for fans to consume. But ultimately, I would love to see just the whole world get back to normal and see wrestling fans. The biggest thing about this podcast that I want to do is feature people and have interviews. And I know that you can do Zoom and stuff like that, and maybe I just need to, you know, swallow it and make it happen. In fact, maybe that'll be my, I know it's not Monday, but my motivation Monday, and see if I can make that happen. But I want to get in front of people, and I want to start doing interviews. I want to start bringing video elements into the brand and the podcast and the website and the social media. But it's hard because just the way everything is right now and being safe and being conscious of COVID, and even if the two sides are cautious, you always have to worry about those keyboard warriors who want to call you out for appearing in the same room as someone. But if you guys have people you'd like to see me interview or hear me interview, let me know. And we'll kind of chase those milestones together. But we're about at the 40-minute mark. I think I covered really everything I want to. The AEW line and the news with that got me really excited. And I just kind of wanted to talk about that, reintroduce the podcast, get back into daily postings and whatnot. So if you listen, guys, I do appreciate it. But until next time, I'm tapping out.